literally eaten up with liberalism all over their convention line. And so Brother Huntley has stood, and there are hundreds of young preachers in the Blue Ridge Mountain area that have looked upon this elder brother. In fact, Brother Huntley is just a few years older than I, just several years older than I am, but hundreds of preachers have looked to him for leadership. And you'd be surprised what his influence has done. And I count it a real joy to identify myself with the camp meeting and with such men as Buck Huntley. That's my crowd. And I say that because they believe, he believes exactly what I believe and we believe at Tabernacle about the Bible and about God's Word. Brother Huntley, it's a joy to have you, good brother, in our pulpit tonight, and the pulpit is yours. And you take your time and take all the time you want. And if that walking cane gets in the way, just ditch it. If you're there.
Right there, Doc.
All right. If you're there, God bless you. Good at
you. Thank you, Dr. Sattler. I'm happy to be here. It's a delight. It's inexplainable. Like the Word of God said, you have never seen Him. You've never seen Him, yet believe Him. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I said the other night, a lot of people not even got to the joy yet, let alone the unspeakable. And I said, after you get all of that, I said, Simon said, and full of glory. So it's a delight to be here. I agree with Brother Siler. I believe the book. I believe the book. Hey, Martin, I used to say a long time ago when they tried to get you to work with the blinds on, you know. You got it in the machinery? Years ago, they tried to get you to work with the blinds on. Say nothing to see nothing. And I always told them I had to work with an open bridle. I couldn't work with blinds. You use the blinds on mules. Amen? I seen a hook at me in that crowd. And I just kind of followed along. Let me give you this. An old preacher in heaven now, Brother Joe Parsons, said to me years ago, he said, there's not but two things to do. Either get in the machine as deep as you can get, and compromise, or get on your knees and go with God. I said, I believe I'll stay on my knees. So that's the way I'm going. Amen. I've been fortunate to know some great preachers that's done gone, done at home. As I said this afternoon at our camp meeting, I'm not going to be a traitor to them. I'm going to believe the book. Some of my dear old men of God that handed me the book and said, this is it. Preach it. That old fellow was just a simple mountain preacher, and he said, whatever that says in there, you preach it. Said, that's where Baptists get their doctrine. Said, preach it. And he said, if that book said, Maddock, don't you say pick. Now, that's country language. You can ask some of these country fellows. Dad Burns can tell you what that means. And he really gave me a lecture on staying with the book. And I praise the Lord for it. Another thing, after I got saved, started on with the Lord, went along till I got surrendered to Him and got filled with the Spirit. That kind of helps you to hang to the book, you know. And this thing you call the Bible is the only thing you read in its author's presence while you're reading. Keep that in your mind. You can read all kind of books of the author. Maybe you already gone in the cemetery or done and gone. But when you pick up this book, the author's present. Thank God. I appreciate Brother Sattler. I greatly appreciate him. I've known him since back in the 50s, as he said. I watched the Tabernacle Church and his work. Over these years, a lot of folks said, well, a hometown boy never could make it in his own town. Well, it looks like he's doing pretty well. You see, I hear a lot of things he didn't hear years back. They've done hush now. Some of them have. Some never will. I told some of them today that camp meeting or our church one, the devil even advertised for you. He'll get out and talk about you. If you believe in the Bible, believe in old time amazing grace, believe that sinners has to repent and believe God to get saved. Amen. And that you're supposed to live right, walk right, that talk right, and walk on out of here toward the city. I said, the devil even talk about you. He'll talk about you. He'll join. I mean, if you just dismiss this religious world, just dismiss it out, just get away from it as far as you can, and head on with the Lord. So I'm happy to be here. I've been through a real experience of the Lord since I was here a year ago. In fact, when I was here, I was crippled. I didn't say anything about it. Hurt my back 2 years ago. Busted a fifth vertebra in my back. It just got worse and worse, worse and worse. And finally, I became paralyzed last fall and from my hips down. And a good doctor I'd been through Oriental Hospital and a bone specialist, and he'd x-rayed me, told me to sleep on the floor. That didn't help anything. And finally, I decided to go to a chiropractor. He sent me to a spine specialist in Nashville. They run me through the bone scan and found I had a collapsed vertebrae. It was pinching my spinal cord. And with that report, they was afraid that there was a tumor in that vertebrae. And they found one, they said, on my shoulder blade. There's a tumor on my shoulder blade. And probably one on my rib. That was the news I got. Now, some of you have experienced something like that. Some of you never have, and you'll never know how you feel until you hear that. But you know what happened when I heard that? God walked in my room. And he undergirded me. I know I looked that fine doctor in the eyes, and I thanked him for telling me that I had a cancer. If that's what it's called in the country. He said, yeah, all tumors are some kind of cancer. Said, now if you want to go back to your hospital in town, Hendersonville, where it's more convenient, said, the doctors over there said they'll take care of you. I said, in other words, they're going to take care of me and keep me comfortable till I die. Is that the way it sounds? He said, no, I don't mean for it to sound that way, but. Well, I said, well, thank you for telling me. But when God got there, I said, Doc, I refuse to die because of a little tumor. Now, you listen. I didn't say this. God got there. That's that old book that I've been preaching out of for over 50 years. Tells me if I'd honor father and mother, it'd be well with me on the land, and I'd live long on the earth. And I said, God has to push me on out yonder, fellas. Are you listening? And that doctor went out there like winding blades. And the next day, let me tell you this real briefly and hurriedly, for the glory of God. The next morning, they'd taken me at 8 o'clock. It took to get me on the wagon off the bed. I was paralyzed from here down, and I was dying with pain. Almost had lost some voice by that time. And they kept me down for nearly 4.5 hours, x-rayed again. They rolled me on the elevator. When I got off the last machine, I was about to lose my breath, and I said to the little nurse, I hold up my head till I could get my breath. And when I went in that elevator and pushed up to the 6th floor and started down that long hall, Mission Hospital was a huge thing. God came again. Not a cyclone, but a calmness. And I was just as conscious that God was doing something for me as I was breathing. And I realized that I could move a foot for 7 weeks. My wife and my children. I had to put my feet in the bed, put them in the car, take them out. I got down to the door and I said to the boys pushing the wagon, I said, boys, don't drive in there and push me off on the bed. Just let me off. I'm going to walk in. They said, what? I said, I'm going to walk in. I said, I had an encounter with God just a moment ago as he came. And I said, I'm going to walk. I walked in, sat down on the bed. I said to my daughter, I said, don't put my feet in the bed. She said, why, Daddy? I said, the Lord came. I said, hurry and close the door. I was about to almost explode, you know. She ran and closed the door, and I threw my feet in the bed and laid down. And I couldn't have moved a foot, couldn't pull up a foot at all till then. I pulled up a foot and kicked the sheet out of the way, and I said, I told you the Lord came. She liked to run out. I said, don't go out, just leave the door closed. And it'd be 10 months to 22nd of this month since that happened. And I haven't had a pain till this night. I stepped in a hole the other day, and that's what the doctor called strain in my hip. I see them hopping like this. But if you don't hurry up and get well, I'll just keep on hopping. Amen. I'm glad to be here. Blue Ridge Camp Meeting's going on, as Brother Sattler announced. We're expecting a great time. Brother Hayes be with us first week. Brother Billy Kennedy, we're going to keep him up there. And with the singing, and we're going to have some special singers. Then Brother Raff will be there the second week. I believe you're going to Spruce Pine, aren't you, over in that concert? Well, I told us you and Brother Raff be there 1 week, and you'd be there the next. They've announced it'll work. Yeah. You don't know about it. Well, they sure did. Ralph will be over next week. You'll be over the next. Hey, somebody got mixed up. Maybe me. Well, let me call your attention to a very familiar scripture, 14th chapter of John's Gospel tonight. Oh, this great crowd. It's a blessing to look at you. That's one thing I praise the Lord for. I've seen so many preachers compromise and deviate, and go away, move back, compromise, move from one label to another, just trying to get a foothold, you know, move to another label, get them another label, trying to hunt higher ground somehow or another, instead of just getting this book and staying with it. That's one thing that blesses my soul about Dr. Siler. He's tucked a book. It'll do it. It'll build a church. Storm hits, it'll ride right on through the storm. Come right on through. And it's so blessed. So many things I'd like to say, but I'm going to move on. Beginning with verse 1 of this great chapter, very familiar chapter, but there's some things in here the Lord laid on my heart I want to talk about. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He's talking now to his disciples. They had no trouble believing in Abraham's God. Not at all. But Jesus said, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." You'll find out why he told them to believe in him. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man. No other way there except by me. "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Or else believe me for the very work's sake." I believe I missed it there. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give unto you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for it dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he shall be loved of my Father, and we will love him, and will manifest myself." That's reading it correctly, read through verse 21. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank thee for this lovely day, for the blessings of this day and the many blessings that has been ours along the journey, that we know about and that we don't know anything about. We want to pray thy blessings tonight, Lord, to rest right now upon the Word of God and upon us as we endeavor to bring the Word of God to these dear hearts. We thank you, Lord, for all of these hungry hearts that's out here, this great company of people. Thank you for this church, and thank you, Lord, for the pastor, and we thank you for those who make up this church, and who bear the burden of this church. And we thank you again and again. We realize we'll have to wait till the waves of time break on the shores of eternity to know the results of this church. Take us, Lord, and keep us for thy glory. We'll praise you forever in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll talk a little bit tonight, real briefly, on the thought of heart trouble cured. You find it in the 14th chapter of John. We're not talking about a physical nor the natural. We're talking about something else. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. That's what helps the heart. That's the first, is a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll help the heart. Amen. You know, it's glorious when you think about what God did for us. I was preaching this morning on the radio about over the 15th chapter. Jesus said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and ordained you and sent you forth to bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And I got on the thought that we wasn't looking for God. He was looking for us. That's what's so glorious when you stop to think about it. We say I went looking for the Lord or when I found the Lord. A lot of our terminologies are all mixed up. And it's not that I know so much about it, but I do know that some of them's wrong. When I found the Lord, of course everybody understands what you're talking about, is when you had an experience of grace. But you didn't, you didn't have to hunt him. He was looking for you all the time. You was going the other way. You was heading on toward eternity without God. See, you're totally depraved and without God. This crowd of faking, bless God, everybody is brothers under the skin. I heard a fellow on the radio the other day, and I said everybody is brothers under the skin. I said, he's a liar. Just the way he said. He said, you ought to say that. Well, he was. Everybody's not brothers under the skin. I said, I'm not a brother to the devil. Brother, fatherhood of God. You know how to get in on this stuff. And you hear a lot of it on radios nowadays. And some fellows are jumping down preaching, cuss radio preaching out because somebody else is on there. It's wrong. Well, there's a whole lot of fellows on there right. So watch out about cussing out the radio preaching. Oh, isn't it wonderful? But what I'm trying to say is that God was looking for us. Came along one day and said the fellow that climbed the tree, his name is Zacchaeus. Some people said his name is Zacchaeus. I don't know which one it was, but anyhow, he climbed the tree. Call it whichever one you want to. Zacchaeus went up a tree and Zacchaeus come down. I guess that's the way you'd have to put it. Anyway, that fellow went up the tree to see the Lord. And somehow or another had a desire. He wanted to see Jesus. And so he went on down the road and he climbed up the tree. You know the story about it. And so Jesus came along and saw him up there, and Jesus, of course, knew he's up there. Said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going home with you today. Because I must abide at thy house. You ought to watch that word abide there a little bit. If you want something to nibble on, look at that real good. He said, I'm going home with you, and I'm going to abide at thy house. And so he came down and received Jesus joyfully and went on his way. And you know what Jesus said to him in the conversation? He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That was his purpose in the earth. The Apostle Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, that God is manifested in the flesh. You think about it, if you please. This crowd running around trying to get you to reason it out and saying, explain it to me and I believe it. I wouldn't lose a half a second with one of them fellows. If God don't arrest a man in the person of the Holy Ghost and give him a revelation, hear what I'm saying real good right here, and give him a revelation of God in regeneration, he'll never know anything about God. Oh, thank God. They say, explain it and I believe it. Explain it. They say, explain it at age that you're in. No. Who can explain God? Paul said, without a controversy, but he's found over in Timothy. He said, without a controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. That God is manifested in the flesh. That is, that God was made visible in flesh and dwell among us. Justified in the Spirit. Say to angels, lead on in the world and receive up the glory. That is God. Who can explain that? But boy, I'll tell you one thing. Old brother Nicodemus wanted to know a little bit about this heart trouble getting cured. And he said, how's it going to be, Lord? How is it? He began to holler and explain it. How can it be? And Jesus went on to say to him, he said, I'll tell you one thing about it, Nicodemus. He said, if I tell you of earthly things and you don't understand, how would you understand if I told you of heavenly things? He did say it. Read it. It's in there. But he said, I'll tell you one thing. It's like the wind that blows. Amen. You can't tell which it cometh, whether it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Thank God you know the wind went by. Don't tell me you won't. Brother Horner singing that old song a while ago. No, it wasn't. It's Barnes Trail. They tell me where there's a country where you'll never grow old. I said to Brother John, I said, when I was a chub of a boy sitting down on the front seat of the second seat of the little old church at home, I saw four men get up. All of us in heaven tonight but one. He's 86 years old. And a quartet, they sung that song. Three of them broke down and wept. And I thought, what's that to cry about? And I said to Brother John, I said, I'm catching on now. Thank God there's a country where we'll never grow. Thank God. Nobody will be feeble over there. Aren't you glad that you had that experience? Aren't you glad that you felt the wind blow? Personal experience. You've got to have a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a historical something, but a personal faith. You like one day there's a man up teaching a company of young preachers, and he is talking to them about quit this putting God all so far off. He kept on hammering that thought to him and that truth to him, and finally a young fellow got up and started walking down the aisle, saying kind of low in his voice, he's here, he's here, he's here. Finally somebody got his attention and said, what do you mean? He said, God's here. He said, I've had him far off over yonder somewhere. Didn't realize he's here. Thank God, in the person of the Holy Ghost. He's here. He's here to abide with you and with me forever. Have you had that personal experience with the Lord? How did the songwriter long ago pick up the pen and said, at the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now this religious world sings it like this. Now I'm having a hard time trying to be a church member. No, he didn't sing it like that. No, he didn't. He said, now, since I saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Somebody sung a song a while ago. My sins are gone. Amen. It's taking a long time to break on you. You might have to live 50 years for that to really break on you. That Jesus really forgives sin. And he really forgets sin. It's gone. Lord God, I used to wonder where the sea of forgetting was at. The Holy Ghost told me one day that the sea of forgetfulness is under the blood. God can never no more remember your sins or mine. If they're under the blood. Glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're saved? I never have got over it. Thank God I ain't looking for anything to help me get over it either. No, sir. They keep saying to me, preacher, you're getting old. You better kind of tone down. Lord God, I had an old great uncle one time. He used to beg me. He'd say, slow up. You'll need that voice when you get old, the middle age and old. Talk like I'm going to live a long time. He said, slow up. You'll need that voice. And he'd get up, him 80-some years old, and preach like the woods is afar. And I'd say, Uncle, I declare, you're really giving good advice, telling me to slow up. He's my great uncle. Telling me to slow up, and you preach like a bunch of freshmen. A freshman. Just hard to be quiet in it. Amen, it sure is. Thank God. Have you had a personal? I'm talking about things that cure your heart. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Get a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your redemption's at. Amen. There's one man between you and God. And that man is Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. He's the way home, thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy high name. Somebody said, why don't you take it easy? I said, what for? Lord God, I want to preach. Say, but two things that makes me want to preach. And that's a preacher that won't preach and one that does. So I think I'm in pretty good shape. Lord, have mercy. Personal experience. You know, the night that I got saved over 53 years ago, I got saved. And one of my uncles got up and preached on Hear the Call. I'd been in a conviction for 3 months. And you know, I even remember his text. That's the strangest thing to me. He read about Samuel when God hollered at Samuel. When he called Samuel. And he said, my subject tonight is hear the call. And he closed up his Bible. And you talk about preaching for about 30, 40 minutes. And when he got done, he said, all you boys that don't want to go to hell, come down front. That's why he made an altar call. Said, get up and come on down here, right now. There's about 25 of us went down there. Sit down. I said, well, I'm glad you come this far. I said, do you think enough about it to get on your knees for one prayer? I said, then we're going home. And I got on my knees, and it wounded my pride. Oh, Lord, it tore me all to pieces when I got on my knees. Amen. Thank God. And I stayed there for a while, and I kept staying. And they kept instructing me how to do. And then I had a good, real good instructor, the Holy Ghost, that had me under conviction for 3 months. And he's right there. He is really close. And that glorious night when I got saved. Now, I said this morning while preaching, everybody don't have the same experience, but everybody gets salvation if you believe God. And some fella said there was a colored fellow one time down here in Alabama and had a light shine and fell on him. He found cotton. And a light shine. And a lot of people go out of here and tell his experience. And this fellow said, I went, and he'd done been through school and everywhere. Said, I wanted to hear that fellow tell his experience. And said he told that experience of how the light fell. Said, I believe it did. But said, when I left there, said the first thing the devil said, you didn't have no light fall on you when you got saved. And that fellow said, it took me 3 months to get my feet on the floor. The devil baffled him because he didn't see a light like the Apostle Paul. You see, that the devil, he's a mean feller. Amen. Amen. And if I tell you how glorious that night was, it was a glorious night to me. And it was a glorious time when you got saved. If I'd give you time to tell it, yours may not have been exactly like mine. But oh, what a night that was. What are you talking about? When I had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't fall out of your seat. When God filled me with the Holy Ghost and confirmed me, get that language right there. It was a greater experience than that night when I got saved. And it wasn't no booger, but I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something else. If that hadn't happened to me, I'd been one of them mountain preachers running around the same bush. You know, telling the same tale. You know, I ain't criticizing. I didn't want to know. One said to me a while back, he said, some people talks about getting filled with Spirit. Said, I got it when I got saved. Boy, I had to lock everything down. I started to say, yeah, I can tell the way you preach, you did. But I didn't. I had to be nice, Doc. Had to be nice. I can tell the way he preaches what he got. You don't have to tell nobody what you got, because I'm telling you what I got. But you don't have to. Look up here. Look up here. Old preacher Phillips in heaven now, one of the greatest preachers I reckon ever went through our country. He said, you don't have to tie a sign on a milk cow and say, this is a milk cow. Said, everybody, country folks, everybody knows that's a cow. And he said, if you ever get a man full of the Holy Ghost, somebody's going to find it out. Amen. Somebody's going to find it out. So the next thing that really gets you going, gets you rolling, is that you really know you've had the personal experience, and then you've got the knowledge to know that you found the way. Now, we use that term, the knowledge, found the way, but the way found me. There's a fellow jumped up one time, his lady got up and sung, Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of glory. You know where that song come from? It came off the battlefield, an old Marine sergeant wrote it, and wrote it down and said, so, you take this back home, and said, maybe somebody will make a song for him. He said, I ain't fit to go to heaven nohow. And he wrote that, laying on the battlefield, Lord, build me a cabin. It was humility of that old Marine. And so this lady sung it, and this preacher jumped up and criticized her and said, that's just the kind of songs to sing. And he grabbed him up one, and it's that song, I Have Found the Way. So when service was over, she walked up and said, preacher, I'm not going to embarrass you like you did me. But said, I want to inform you, I didn't find the way. Said, the way found me. You got it? Amen. God came to where I was at. That's one of the most glorious things I ever thought about. That God came to where I was at.
didn't go to where God is at. He came to me. Glory. Hallelujah. So I have that knowledge that he came to me. Oh, when I was a poor lost boy, offering at that. Oh, Lord, my daddy was in hit and killed as a result of a truck wreck. I had a lonely heart. But to think that the Holy Ghost came and arrested my soul. And I went home that night and ran in the room, the mother's bedroom, and said, Mama, she wasn't able to go to church to the revival that night. I said, the Lord saved me. She said, I know it. And nobody beat me home. There wasn't no telephones either at that time. She said, I know it. And later on, she told about transacted business. Blessed be the name of God. Beyond the stars, 3 weeks before that, she touched heaven for me. God promised her, I'll get him. And in 3 weeks' time, I went into her bedroom and said, Mama, God got me tonight. I've got the knowledge that I know that I found the way, or the way found me. I like that the best. Isn't that wonderful? Glory. Doc, you want me to quit? Well, how much further you want me to go? We're over the 9 o'clock, ain't we? Lord have mercy. Wasn't that a good night? Mama said, I know it. Thank God for these mothers that transact business above the stars. Woo! When the boys get to acting like a bunch of loose mules and trying to be as mean as the devil, and Mama go tell God on you. She kept telling God on us boys till God run them everyone in. Old Ted, one of my brothers, was on his way when he was going to the Philippine Islands, on his way in the army, and Mother got disturbed about him in 1936, and she got along with God. God said, I'll take care of him. You know how long it was before God ever took care of him? 1947, I put him in the pond. God run him in. If God ever says anything, you need to worry. Just hang around. Oh, hallelujah. Knowledge that the way found me. Wasn't it a good day? A good night. That's the reason that fellow wrote the song, Oh, Happy Day. That fixed my choice. I went down one day to preach for Brother Wade one night over at his church. He said, this is preacher so-and-so. He didn't tell me he wasn't, but making rivers no half. And I preached that night on this here crowd running around with a do-do-do religion. You know, a lot of people said, do-do-do, and you make it. Do-do-do, you make it. But I said, my spell's done. Done. Amen! The work is already done! Lord, have mercy. It took me a long time to quit saying if I'm fortunate enough to make it in. I was in then and didn't realize it. Amen? Don't look at me like that. And so I preached on that thought, 'tis done. The great transaction's done. I am the Lord's and he's mine. He drew me and charmed me. And I confessed the voice divine. That was God in the person of the Holy Ghost. And he taught me how to watch and pray and to live rejoicing every day. That's the way God will teach you. Amen. You're going to hit valleys. You're going to hit storms. Boy, I tell you right now, I wouldn't take nothing from my experience. I got a nephew. He's a carpenter. He said, I'm going to have to go look at his map. Them x-rays. Well, I said, you can go. I said, you can start at Mountain Home, Mountain Sand Hospital. And I said, go back with Dr. McConney. Look at his x-ray. I should go with Charles Stanley, look at his x-ray. Go back to the party hospital, look at all the x-rays, and then go to Asheville, look at all them. Go look at them. Go look at them. Well, you can't fall out with him. If a man can't believe, he can't believe. God said, everybody don't have faith. You ought to shout. A lot of folks don't say, I don't know anything to shout about. Where you been? Don't know anything to shout about. Lord, how much? A lot of men don't have faith. But if you've got faith tonight in God, you ought to have a spell on general principle whether you even feel like it or not. And you wouldn't be out of order. Jesus said, every time you think about your name being written in heaven, he said, go ahead and put it on. Then said, if they cuss you out and persecute you, said, then really put one on because great is your reward. Yeah, man. Thank God. I like the way you folks make me preach. Boy, Brother Sattler can tell you, and I can tell you, we've been there when she bounced back. You'd throw it out there again, here'd come back again. Throw it out there again, here'd come back. Lord have mercy. But when you get where they're spongy, you kind of get to acting emotional. Thank God. I got the best crowd in my little old church. Call it a little old church because I don't have too big a crowd, and I'm not looking for a big crowd. I pray God don't give me a big crowd. I couldn't handle this crowd. I can't handle a crowd. I had a 660 one time, and they like to kill me, lost my hair and everything else. Amen. Taught me a lot of things, though. And I've got a church now. I've got a big crowd. Listen, don't have one contention. Don't have one sore thumb. I had two one time. They got up on this tree, and I told them out of the pulpit. I said, climb on this tree if you want to around here. I'll cut the tree down and throw it away. They left. They left. Amen. I got so mean and ugly, bald-headed and stuff. I won't put up with it in my church a moment. If I find a bunch of bowing up on God in contention, I won't preach to them. I'll just call them out the side and say, get in or else. Amen. I'm not going too far to put up with this bunch of little nestings out yonder. Little crowd get out yonder nest, get together, and little crowd get over yonder. I go to stewing on the preacher and stewing over the bunch. Oh, Lord God, help us. I won't get on that. We'll freeze to death. Amen. You folks, every day of your life, ought to get on your knees and thank God that you've got Dr. Sattler for your pastor. Give me $5 for that one. You know what? I never forward up, never go back and much mention it. But one fellow with a heart broke when I left Balfour. In a few weeks, he said, boys, we had him and let him get away. Young? We had him and let him get away. Said he's one of the last school of preachers of the old school. He said, when I went to the church to hear him preach, when I left, I felt like I'd been to church. That humbled my heart. And when you come out here to the tabernacle and hear this man of God pour out his soul and preach to you, you feel like you've been to church. You don't go out of here feeling like you've been to political speech or a ball game. You go out feeling like you've been to church. That wasn't in the outline, but I got it in there now. Brother Sattler, I'm going to uncouple right here. If you all will give me A, I'll sing you one. That's so old, just don't know whether I sing it right or wrong. Give me A, Brother Steve. Four flats. Yeah, just A flat, just four flats. Good. Over the tide of life's wonderful sea is a bright mansion that's waiting for me. Time of its stories I soon shall behold. Treasures more precious than gold. Soon I shall anchor on heaven's bright shore. And from all sorrow be free. There shall no trouble or death ever come. And with my Savior I'll be. Though for a while on this earth I may be tossed like a ship at storm on the sea, trust in my Savior as pilot and guide over life's rolling sea. Soon I shall anchor on heaven's bright shore, and from all sorrow be free. There shall no trouble or death ever come, and with my Savior I'll be. You know where that song came from? Out of the reservation. Cherokee Reservation. And an old Indian told me, 85 years old, a while back, that he heard it sung when he was a little boy and heard an old man, old preacher, 90 years old, singing it. Over the tide of life's wonderful sea. Thank you, Doctor.